Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 191 for October 22nd, 2018. Join us, won't you? Yeah. I can watch you do that all day. Hey, everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. Brian Dunaway over there dancing. I'm over here sitting, and it's time for us to do another show. Thanks for tuning in. People who are here live, maybe those at home, also, hello and welcome to the show. It's nice to have you here. Brian, we're just going to jump right in this week, okay?
Let's do this. Let's hit this running just like I did last week when I was playing Black Ops 4.
Oh, whoa, what? Oh, right, because you rented it. You rented it from the thing. We talked about that, didn't we?
Right.
Yeah, I'm still playing the legit copy of that. You know, I bought it, and I think eventually you might as well. If they can, build on that thing and grow it out and keep it kind of cool, I think that there may be a future for it. But then I have all kinds of questions about what's the future of Call of Duty, which is usually a yearly franchise. What do they do now? Do they keep milking this one, or they just put one out every year? I don't know.
Treyarch was mighty sneaky. They was like, hey, you know, we should do something different this time. Something that requires us to be here all the time.
Yeah, they kind of messed up things. But we'll see what the future holds for that franchise and more.
Trixie, oh, Treyarch.
See, my video is quiet again, isn't it, everybody? What is going on? Hold on. There.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Oh, yeah, there it is.
It's still quiet. It's louder when you're on. I don't know. I don't get it. It doesn't matter. We're doing a show with or without it. I don't care. Freaking F it. Let's get right to it.
You can hear me? You can hear me? I don't care. We're doing a show anyway.
Scott I went a little nuts this week for space games. Now, you know I like a good space game, right? We've talked about this.
Right.
Well, I like it so much that's all I played. So I'll talk about the first of the space games. I've said on previous shows that I'm always looking for a fix when it comes to trading stuff, mining an asteroid, taking its junk, going back to a station, finding out that this station in the third quadrant over here of the star system is giving me more money, more space credits for the ore I mine. So I'm going to sell it here. And while I'm here, I'm going to check the jobs board. Ooh, jobs board says there's a bunch of pirates I got to go kill and bring back proof that I did it. Sweet. I'm going to go do that. Like, that's the experience I'm always aching for. And until
you're a smuggler at heart.
I am a space smuggler. I'm a freelancer. I'm a privateer. I'm that guy. And so I have tried far and wide, bought and returned about 10 different games this last week where I thought, is this the one?
Which they just love over there at Steam. It's this guy again.
Well, they love me look.
Don't you love how easy we've made it modern times to return stuff? You used to have to go to Walmart and take stuff back, and they'd look at you and have to make it some kind of excuse.
Yeah.
Now you just go, I didn't like it.
This is all true. Everything you say is true. So I gave up and went, well, I'm just not going to play anything until that game comes out that I'm super stoked about. The one called
Red Dead Redemption.
No, that I'm excited about. Oh. But space games. The Rebel Galaxy Outlaw, which looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So that'll probably scratch all the itches I have, but that ain't happening until like January. And so I thought, well, what do I have in my library? Maybe there's something in here I just haven't touched in a long time. And then I remembered. I have a game that I played in alpha, even before it was early access. They sent me a code. It's called Starpoint Gemini Warlords. Now, there was a Gemini 1 and 2. So there were two other games. Didn't play those. But this Warlords game I played at the time, and it was very new and very not finished at the time. And I thought, oh, this has potential. And then I forgot about it. I put it away. I didn't think about it again. Didn't pick it up. Didn't touch it until the itch came back. And then I just had to have it.
Back the very next day.
So here's what I did. I crack that thing open.
Found out was some kind of disease. Hey, bitch. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, here's the deal. Now I can fly to any planet I want, space station, whatever. Pick up the jobs. Go do the jobs.
Starpoint.
Get paid for it. Starpoint Gemini Warlords is the name, the full name. Mm. You got a system that you start in. Depending on how you do it, there's a campaign and a story, but you can also sandbox it. You got a planet. You got a couple of things that are all set to go. But this game also features a mode in it that's basically like a 4X game or like an overall system economy game. So I can zoom way out and say, all right, well, how am I doing here? Oh, this sector is controlled by the Zimzams. I better go take that back. And so you go fight whatever you have to fight to get it.
Tell me the Zimzams are an actual faction that you have to fight.
You want that to be true, but I'm sad to say it's not true. I completely made it up. You go into the zone there, and you take some fleet with you. So you got buddies in your fleet that you've paid for, built, and now they can hang with you. You can merge or unmerge people from your fleet, but they're AI assistants that just kind of fly with me and fight with me if I need to fight. And
are they like the hype men? They kind of jack you up when you're going. They get on the radio a lot and kind of hype you up a little bit.
They like to raise the roof, as the kids say. Yeah, raise the roof. No, they just sort of chill, and then once in a while when they're fighting, they'll go, "Hey, we're taking damage here." You know, they'll have some chatter, but it's nothing crazy.
It's nothing on the level of like do a barrel roll or anything like that.
No, nothing like that.
A little background noise.
Yeah, and the control immersion. Yeah, the control of your ship too is also very non-flight sticky. Like I kind of like it. I don't like complicated sim controls in my space games. That's not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is missions and structures and, you know, amazing exploration and stuff like that.
So this is always the thing that I'm always looking at when I'm playing a game like this. You can easily ruin the game for me by making me have to fly too slow, too far, without jump points. How is the flight to planet to planet?
So,
how is that?
So early on, you have to fly. You do have a sublight speed, which is built into any ship that you get when it's new. And it's pretty fast. And also, you don't have huge distances to travel in the beginning of the game. That stuff comes later. So in the beginning of the game, travel is not a big deal. I mean, you do travel, but it doesn't feel ridiculous. And I like that. So I kind of enjoy the methodical sort of make my way through the stars kind of progression. So I don't mind it. But I know what you're saying. Eventually, you get these jump drive things that are single-use devices. You can have many of them, depending on how much you can afford. But they'll let you jump anywhere you want, pretty much immediately anywhere in the system. So you can have those. Or there are wormholes that will take you to other systems immediately. These are natural occurrences, kind of Deep Space Nine-ish.
Oh, yeah, all the wormholes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you do a lot of that. And that's sometimes a little scary. I've taken a wormhole to an area where I was clearly underpowered for what was happening out there, and that got real bad. Some people are hearing me talk about this and going to themselves, "Hey, Scott, aren't you basically just talking about like EVE Online?" Kind of. This is a single player game, though, entirely. The things I like about EVE are here. The big difference is it's not just a big weird spreadsheet of strange stuff I have to learn. Like I'm legit having a really good time in here. Now, will I give two poops about this when Outlaw comes out? Probably not. I'll probably have had my fill by then because I'm ready for some next gen business here. Even though this isn't that old, it's like less than a year out. But
if you think Scott's going to give one Zimzam about this when that comes, no.
Yeah. No Zimzam for me. The combat's fun. There's some automated stuff. So your ship can just sort of auto fire on any enemies it encounters. If you want, or you can be a little more skillful about it. I think the combat's pretty neat, actually. And getting around is just a lot of point and click and easy. Like, when you look at the map view, you can right-click the planet. If you want to just go back and get more missions, just right-click the planet. Right. And it'll make an auto course to the thing. And it's a great game for, like, you got a little Netflix show going on the side there. And you're, like, watching that while you're traveling to some big chunk of space. And I just love this kind of thing. I don't know what it is.
I have a feeling that you're watching Film Sack and playing this all at once and just squeezing it all in.
I promise you that I am not doing that. However, thank you for the idea. That sounds fantastic.
Oh, dang it. All right. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I've got some, I got a few questions because I'm looking this right now and I'm trying to see if at any point in time I have a really cool space shooter in my library, because you got me thinking,
yeah,
maybe I do have a couple of cool ones, but I don't think I have this one. I noticed that the ships that they're showing in the screenshots are of varying size. Some of these look really massive.
Yeah.
Are they expecting me to believe that I'm a single pilot? No, on these ships,
you have people on the ships. So you have you can board other ships. Like, let's say it's a hostile ship. You can have your people board that ship and take all their stuff or hack their data or whatever the mission might be.
Kind of like pirates.
Yeah, basically you can pirate them, come aboard, take their poop, come back. There's a whole bunch of stuff like that. Not just the other ships, but like space stations or outposts and stuff, you can board them and take them. So you do have this figurative crew, but it's not like you're walking around with them and talking to them and stuff. You're just, you know, they're just sort of there. But you can have everything from a small fighter ship to like a giant frigate monster class freaking huge ship, Battlestar Galactica size thing, if you want. And you can buy everything in the game. So it's a bit like Eve in that way. You can buy whatever you want in your fleet. If you die, you just go back to your last save point, unlike Eve, where you lose everything. And it just is fun. It's great. It's a good space game. And I really like it. I enjoy it. And I don't, you know, it's
Discovery.
If you're not already into these things, then this isn't going to do anything for those people. But if you like the stuff I've described here and in previous weeks, I think it's a real good time to be had.
I just discovered I do have Starpoint Gemini 2.
Oh yeah.
In my so I must have got this in like a Humble Bundle or something, and I see it. It doesn't look as cool as Warlords, and it was released about 3 years prior to this.
Yeah.
But
graphics aren't as good, but it might be fun. You might try it out.
Maybe I tease it. Maybe I tease it to see, because at $34.99, I didn't get my copy of Warlords for free. So I might have to think about it. Before I buy it.
Yeah, it's still relatively current game, so it's, you know, kind of priced
but it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. I like it a lot. It also, I should mention, it is pretty. It does all that stuff right. Space looks good. Ships look good. Explosions look good. All that stuff looks good. Just love, you know, like looting an old ship I just blew apart, and there's just something about that loop. It just gets me, and I'm sort of all in on it, and I've been craving it so bad. And honestly, I've tried a bunch, and this one, while in some ways this is super generic, they're not doing anything super special here, it's absolutely that thing that I needed at the moment. So that's what I did. I enjoyed it. You might as well. Again, that is Starpoint Gemini Warlords, available now wherever you get it. I don't know if it's on consoles. I know it's on Steam, but I don't know about anywhere else.
Yeah, it's on Steam. That's where I saw it.
The voice acting is ridiculous. I did want to mention this. In the single-player mode, there is a big single-player mode to this game. In that mode, it's bad. Like, the dudes you talk to are like, "Commander, I believe there's something. Oh no, they've boarded it." Like, it's a lot of that just B-level dialogue, and you can tell that that was not where they spent their big effort on the game. It's okay, though. I kind of enjoy it. I'm not going to complain. But the gameplay is really good. All right, Brian, let's now talk about your first game of the day, which appears to be Friday the 13th again.
Well, see, we had discussed Friday the 13th prior in another episode of The Boop Show. However, it was just because they had just released it as a downloadable once you get the PS Plus for October.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I'll add that to my library and then I'll play it. And I did launch it. Remember, I said I kind of just looked at it for half a second and I'd have more to say about it. Well, I got more to say about it because this past weekend, I got to sit down in earnest and sit down with Friday the 13th on my PS4. And and so I learned some things while playing A Long Night at Camp Blood. By the way, there's a lot of if you're a Friday the 13th fan of the movies and you've been waiting for an amazing game, This is what you got. All right, how about that? It's not going to be good or bad. I think this game...
That sounds not great, what you just said, how you explained it. Sounds like that may not be great.
It's not. Okay. So in the, okay. So the things that I usually look for in a game, and I'm just, you know, when it's like brand new game, I've never seen it before. Some of the things I'm looking for is, you know, how are the graphics? Mm-hmm. How is the gameplay? Is the world well built? You know, does it, is it fun? And the, all those kind of things. Let's just say about the things they failed at, the visual, the graphics, the graphics, not good.
Yeah,
not good.
Look a little stiff and rigid and not.
Unreal Engine in this thing, and it doesn't look great. But you know, I can kind of forgive it because it's a horror game, and most horror games are mostly played in the dark. So
yeah, but
you know,
if it's an Unreal 4 engine, that's the most beautiful engine on the market. They should have squeezed more out of it.
Totally should have. So I was trying to figure out and understand why they didn't put more into that aspect of what could be a beautiful game. It is gritty and dark, and the theme could have been so much better, but it seems like they went with this kind of, like they almost wanted to, meme this thing or something, because whenever you go into a new area, when you play, you don't really play levels, but when you start a new round, it starts usually with the location, which is one of the many locations in the Friday the 13th movies. And there's usually a quick cutscene of action. Jason showing up and murdering a teenager. And every time there's this guy that kind of like whips around and goes, ah! And he's got this mouth of black teeth that just are poorly rendered. And his face is all goofy. And it's a great thing to look at as far as just, oh, my God, what am I looking at? It freaks you out. Really gives you a freak out moment, but it really felt like they were trying to push people to meme it or something. Like it was intentionally ugly to create that. I may be wrong. Mm. I may be wrong, but it felt very much like that. Now you notice I did say at the beginning that it's a long night at Camp Blood. I learned that from the game because there is a mode in this game that you can go and just read. You can hit one of the cabins and you can kind of walk around and kind of a virtual tour. And it's like all these interesting facts about the movie. And so I learned a lot there, and I spent more time there probably than actually playing the game.
Ooh, Jason's supposed to be, is he supposed to be an old guy? He's got like old gray hair in the back. Is that what that is? Am I looking at his
head right? Is that the sack? That may be the sack.
Oh, that's
It wasn't until part three that he picked up his hockey mask.
Yeah.
So you may be looking at the sack. So
that might be the sack.
You're looking
underneath
at Jason's sack.
Yeah, I'm looking at Jason Voorhees' sack. He just took a lady and dunked her head in a hot boiling pan of water and ended her existence there. Yes. That's no good.
Some of the kills are more fun than others. You can play in this game. You can play as Jason Voorhees, which is what I wanted to do and what everybody wants to do. Or you can play as one of the survivors. In one of the modes that you can play online with up to 8 other players. You and then 8 survivors. If you're Jason, you're not going to get many chances at being Jason if you do this, because you know, there's that many people and only one person can be Jason, and it gets picked at the very beginning of the round.
Yeah.
Jason, is he OP? Of course he's OP. He's Jason Voorhees. He can't be killed. So when you're playing this game, Jason is like he can't be really killed. I've read that you can kill him. I haven't seen how yet, not in the game. So I played most of my time with that mode. I played as a survivor, and that was a lot of fun. I enjoyed being chased by someone who is way overpowered and had skills.
Ugh, it stresses me out. It's like Dead by Daylight. Really, that other game's just like this, and it scares the poop out of me every time I play it.
It is kind of a Dead by Daylight thing, and what you're trying to do is you're trying to survive. So you have all these cabins that are set up in the camp, and so you'll go into a cabin that kind of affords you a little bit of protection, because the person playing Jason has to come to the doors, and if it's locked, he has to chop through the axe, and you have time enough to jump out one of the many windows, which I've done many times. And plus, you also can kind of team up with other people, and you kind of just have this natural bunching abilities. You kind of like all just bunch together in one area, and if anybody's close to Jason, they always take a couple of shots, and lots of times that'll slow him down. There's things you can do, like you can throw firecrackers at Jason, and that'll stun him, and you can run away. You can pick up bats and machetes and other things and chop him. And if you're lucky, you move a little faster than him usually. You'll hit it one time, and you'll run. You'll all run. Now, of course, you can imagine these are all time-limited games. It's usually about 15 minutes per round, and you want to be able to escape. But there's a way that you can escape without just surviving through the night. You can also fix one of the cars that are there. There's two. And you can fix one of the cars by bringing a battery to put in it. There's a little bit of wrench work involved, and there's gas you have to put in the car. Once you do that, remember that kind of like Left 4 Dead kind of thing? Remember having to run around in Left 4 Dead 2 and getting the gas canisters while the zombies were chasing you around and loading up the car and getting the hell out of Dodge?
Yeah, over here. I'm reloading.
Over here.
Yeah, right, so it's the same kind of idea. So what you do is you get in the car. However, the car breaks down a lot while you're trying to escape, and the path is like, it seems like forever. It's like, I'm never gonna get out of here. And you think when you're in a car you can easily outrun Jason, but you can't, because Jason has four powers. A couple of his powers are he can stalk you, so he'll go into a stalker mode. And generally when you're playing against Jason, he will be making his little theme music, so when he gets nearby as a victim you can hear it. It's like ch-ch-ch, right? And so you're freaking out a little bit, and your character will start kind of screaming and stuff. Their heart will start racing, and they'll start making a little bit more noise, which makes it easier for Jason to find you too, by the way. Mm-hmm. But you can put him in a stalker mode where you don't make any noise at all, and you can sneak up on the campers if you're lucky.
Do you do any of the single player stuff, or did you just multiplayer? Like, what have you done?
I did a single player where you play against bots.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that because it allowed me to play Jason comfortably, because when I was in multiplayer mode playing Jason, I was sucking it, because everybody else, you know, I had just started this past weekend to play it really, where I put in some time to it, and everybody is really good at dodging, getting away, and I out of 15 minutes only killed one person out of the whole 15 minutes. And every time I'd played before as a victim, almost always every Jason would win. So I was like the worst Jason ever. I think the one guy just died so he could get out of the game.
That was it.
Just like, kill me already.
Freaking screw this. Yeah.
I can see that. So, but man, it is a lot of fun. The game mechanic of it is a lot of fun. Playing the game, success. I give that a check mark. Yes, you did get me at that.
Okay.
However, it's any type of story, not really. But, you know, how much story do you really need when you're playing a Friday the 13th?
How many of those movies really had much of a story either? It was just like a bunch of teenagers do something dumb and then get killed.
Yeah. But I think they could have went a little bit deeper with that, but they didn't go too deep. And I was really wishing the kill shots would be more intense. Now, there are a couple of kill shots where if you're in the right place near a certain object, like a fireplace or a car where there's a hood, if you move the victim in the right place, because you can grab them as Jason, and if you move them in the right place, you can do these, you know, these extra cool kills. But all my kills were like me holding up somebody and then taking my knife and going stab, 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 stab like 20 times.
Yeah,
it was okay kill, but it wasn't very satisfactory. It didn't feel like, you know, I was really Jason Voorhees. So I feel like some of that stuff kind of felt a little bit flat. The graphics not that great, but the actual playing. But, you know, it's a game mechanic, and I've seen other games do it better. But I do like the fact that I'm in this world of Friday the 13th, which I grew up watching. I've seen all the films, and I've just had a really good time with that.
Here's the deal. This game would be, for me, would be an absolute must-get if they forget about the Dead Till Daylight or Dead by Daylight gameplay. Forget about all that stuff. Forget about the multiplayer for a minute. If they would have just made a really solid Hitman or... Who's the other stealth guy with the... Who am I thinking of?
Oh, the guy. I know what you're talking about. No, my gosh.
Splinter Cell, that's it. If these played like a Splinter Cell game where it's, I'm the serial killer and I'm hunting around looking for my targets and I can't be seen, or if I may walk into one of their traps if I'm not careful, like make a really well thought out stealth action game, I would be
in
it, dude.
I feel like this game would have really benefited from a single player story mode where people who are just getting into Friday the 13th or haven't ever seen like the first and the second one, because there's a lot of references to Jason's mom in the game. She's really only a factor in the first couple of ones. Matter of fact, you don't even see Jason Voorhees except for like just a little quick shot at the very end of Friday the 13th, the first one. Yeah. He's not even in it. And then the Jason we really know doesn't really come around until like part 3 and 4.
Yeah.
So there's backstory that would have made this game so layered, because this is a game that, you know, I think the fans of the series would have really loved. And that I feel like they kind of failed a little bit on that, because I feel like the training in this is substandard.
Yeah.
It has a lot of complicated mechanics that kind of, it takes you a while to learn them. And it's not a good place to learn that when you're playing online. That's the worst place to try to learn, you know, what is morph? Mm. What is sense? Mm. What is shift? I don't know none of these things. These words don't even make any sense. Morph is where there's like these cooldown abilities, and they have to warm up first. And one ability is called morph, which allows you to jump anywhere on the minimap, which is cool, but morph, what is that? That doesn't make any sense. And then there's like the sense where you can sense the players and figure out where they're at. And so you'll kind of see like these heat signatures on the map or on the screen, and you kind of head in that direction. And then there's kind of like little pings and things, like little circle pings that show you an idea of where people are at.
Yeah.
I feel like if they've given us maybe a single player with a little bit of tutorial and kind of got our feet wet into doing that stuff, I would have had a much better time. I was ready to quit. I'm like, I don't want to play this anymore. I hate playing Jason. As a matter of fact, when they picked me for Jason, I was like, I don't want to do this.
I want to be a camper. You were saying to
yourself, I want to be a camper while people who have perfected. It's easy to be a camper. Mm-hmm. Camper's super easy. All the instructions you get for how to play the game are screenshots and long, verbose dialogue. Not even dialogue, just instructions. So there's like a whole menu selection. You how to play, and you click on it, and it's like, here's a screenshot of Jason that really doesn't mean anything, and here's a bunch of text to read.
Sure.
Next page, here's a screenshot of Jason and a bunch of text to read. It wasn't very organic. Mm. So people's complaints about this game, very valid, but if you're a Friday the 13th fan and you have PlayStation Plus, what's your excuse? None. Click.
It's free.
Download.
It's free.
Play.
Get it. Play for it.
Do it.
No. Don't pay for it. Play for it.
No, don't. Yeah, don't pay for it. Friday the 13th. But no, it was... I really wish it had really been something more. I enjoyed it somewhat. I still had fun.
Well, let me tell you about another game in space, because that's all I played this week. Okay. Space games. That's what I played. This one is another code that I got from a very small developer. In fact, I think it may be just one dude, unless you count the music. But it's called Adios Amigos, or the more proper way of saying it is Adios Amigos, because... Oh. Adios is the name of your ship, and it's obviously a play on words, right? But you're in space. It's a much more goofy affair, although I think the art style is pretty neat. And the way it works is this. You start with a little dude, and you pick a little, like a mini ship, like a kind of a crap ship, and your job is to go from planet to planet using some Newtonian physics. Like you got to hit orbits just right to land them. It's not super hard or anything, but you got to, you know, you can't just willy-nilly around there. But then it kind of becomes a little bit of a lunar lander mini game to get to the planet. And then once you've gotten to the planet, you need to reap the planet's resources. And it's just this 2D round planet you run around on with your little cartoon man. And if there's a rock or a stone, you can scan it. It gives you information that you need. It helps refuel your energy. And your fuel, rather. And if you're on the cold or the dark side of the planet, sometimes it's too cold over there and you're going to die. On the lit side or the side with the light, it's warmer. And some planets are super toxic, so you don't want to be there very long. Like, there's different kinds of planet types. They're all randomized. And it's kind of a roguelike in a way. You also get a grappling hook that poops out the bottom of your thing. And then you can shoot that grappling hook into a giant stone and move the stone. And under the stone might be some technology you can use. So anyway, you strip the planet clean of its resources, scan all of its animal life, and then eventually it will give you, it won't take very long either, but, and you can exit the ship, I should mention. So you can do a lot with a ship, but then also you can fly around as your little dude. You have a jetpack, and you can actually be on the ground. Some things you have to do on the ground, like you have to repair your ship. You have to be out of the ship to do that. You can teleport to your ship from anywhere on the planet. There's fuel in lots of places. So you want to go get that fuel. It uses crazy physics for everything I'm describing. So it's a little goofy and kind of fun in that way, because you don't know when something's going to tip over and smush you. What else? Z drive. Oh, that's the thing. You got to fill up your Z drive. And your Z drive is your cue to get the H off the planet. Get into your ship, fly out of there, and Z jump. And that sends you one light year away. And the goal is to get as many light years back home as possible. So when
just raping and pillaging is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Just,
so you leave the planet, it goes shoo, and then you got to be careful. Don't hit Z drive while you're right in front of a rock or a planet or a station, because you'll slam into it and get hurt. But you fly to the next star system, go find some more planets to pillage, get your Z drive refilled, take off again, try to get home. The planets get harder and harder as you progress. And it's really that loop. That's the simple way the game works. And I like it a lot.
it's really, I like the art style. This art style beats Friday the 13th like by a mile.
Well, it's pretty good for what it's for. Yeah.
Right.
The only complaint I have about it is I think your little dude is kind of basic, and he's kind of a stick figure, which kind of bugs me a little bit. But everything else in it, the ship, the way the planets look up close, the galaxy view, like that stuff's all really cool. It's got a nice little soundtrack, like a fun, just kind of a fun, goofy thing going on. And landing on planets is fun. Finding a new planet, landing on it. And it's kind of like Little Big Planet when you get there. Or not Little Big Planet, more like Mario Galaxy. It's kind of like that, where you just have this overly sized dude who can run around the surface of this planet, collect all this stuff, and go away. It's a very odd little game. Oh, you collect hats. I should have mentioned the hats. You collect hats.
Oh, you can't miss the hats. Yeah. By the way, my favorite feature on the store listing on Steam for Adios Amigos or Adios Amigos has got to be no weapons or killing, parentheses, although horrible accidents may occur. Did you incur any horrible accidents?
Yeah, I've died lots of times. And that's the whole point of the game is if you die, you get some stuff that you take back with you for the next run. So very roguelike in that way, and I'm already big on those. One of the worst accidents I had, though, was I was on a relatively small planet with it was more like a moon, and it had low gravity. So I thought, oh, I'll just jump like I do everywhere, and I jumped, and I flew right out of gravity and died in cold space. It sucked. So there was that. But it's a cool little game.
So when you did that, did your character burn up or freeze or explode or any other myths that happen to the bodies when you're going in vacuum?
He just died out there. I did have a remote control. I could remote control my ship and try to find the body and get to myself before I died.
Right.
But I didn't make it.
I tried
really hard and it didn't happen.
I'm not gonna make it.
I've accidentally Z-jumped right into a planet before. That was a bad idea. Died that way. I landed on a planet that was basically lava, but didn't know it until I hit, and then I just burned to death. Like, there's stuff like that. It uses actual, like, gravitational pull to, you know, so you can kind of shoot your ship where you want it to go, and it'll curve based on what part of the galaxy in. So it's some interesting math being used.
Is it actual real physics? Like, if you come to a larger planet,
supposedly
will it have greater gravitational pull?
Yeah. Yes, for sure. That is absolutely true. But now, whether or not it's 100% accurate, I couldn't tell you.
I don't expect it to be. You know, I'm not going to get my, I don't know, some kind of calculator out. So I'm not going to do that. But yeah, I mean, I was just curious if there was a consistency with the gravity. Interesting.
I'm super impressed with it, though, just because it's just, you can tell somebody had a really fun idea and they just iterated on it and made a little game out of it. I think the name's super stupid. Like, if it were me, I wouldn't call it Adios Amigos. It'd be something way cooler than that, because that just means nothing. Like, what does that even mean?
Right here.
Yeah, it's dumb. I don't like it. It should be a different name, but it's kind of adorable. And
it's not too late. I mean, it's on sale right now. A week-long deal ends October the 29th. So if you've listened past that, you're going to miss the deal. But on Steam, it's $9.99.
It's only $10. Oh my gosh, get this game.
It's only $10, and you got a single player and a co-op and a local co-op.
Yeah, you can have four of you all running around in there if you want.
Right.
Yeah.
You using your controller for this?
Yes. What video I was just watching is some dude using his keyboard, and I think that's madness. I think the controller.
I would hate to play any Phases game with the keyboard unless you like co-op.
Well,
co-op.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not so much that it's a physics game. It's just, I don't know, a controller feels like it's built for turning a ship and landing a lander and moving a dude around. It's just better for it.
Right.
So anyway, Adios Amigos for the PC, available now for $9. It is absolutely worth your cash. I got it for free, so I should at least mention that, but I love it enough that I would pay for it. All right, tell me about Granny. What is Granny?
Tell me about Granny. You haven't heard about Granny?
I haven't heard about Granny.
Uh, All right. So this is how I got Granny. You want to hear how I got Granny?
I was in bed one night. I see what you did. You did the thing that we committed to do last week, which is these are all horror games. And I spent all my time in space. That's great.
All space games. No, it's okay. It's okay. We actually talked about either doing it this week or next week. So yeah. I'm a big horror guy, and I love Halloween, and I love this time of the year. And I'll be playing scary games for the rest of the month. So you're solid. Just take a break from the space next week and find something scary. All right. So Granny.
No, I don't like Granny. She just did a thing that freaked me out. She jumped out of bed.
I was in bed, and I was like, oh, I'm going to play a few games before I go to sleep. And I was going to pull up, and I was like, why are there like three or four new games on my phone? And Granny, that looks scary. The icon's got this scary Granny lady with, like, burning eyes. And so I'm starting to get kind of freaked out. I'm like, does somebody hack my phone? And come to find out, the next day I did find out that my 5-year-old nephew, who sometimes borrows my phone when I go over to visit, and he had loaded loaded Roblox. I'm like, why do I have Roblox on here? But the thing that surprised me was he had Granny on the phone. He loves this game. This game is scary as crap. It's one of those kind of almost kind of like it's an adventure escape game. It follows the rules of the Five Nights, like the Five Nights at Freddy's, but it's a little more, more exploring. It's not like where you're just sitting in one place. So you wake up in Granny's house with very little backstory other than you know you're supposed to avoid Granny. You have 5 days to get out of the house. She's pulled a whole one of those. What was the character's name in Misery?
I don't remember her name.
Right. I don't know what your relationship to Granny is, but you are in Granny's house and you got to get out. And the problem is everything you touch falls over and makes a noise, and Granny comes running and you can't escape. Because once she is on to you, she is on, and you can run sometimes. Sometimes there's just enough give in the running away that you think maybe for a second, I can climb under that bed. And that's usually how you get away. You can either like climb under beds. If you get close enough to a bed, you can hit a button and you can jump under the bed. Or if you're near a closet, you can jump in there. And Granny just does all these great jump scares because you don't think you've made that much noise. You're like, oh, I just knocked over that little pin. No big deal. Granny surely won't go, there she is. There she is.
Yeah.
And she'll just, like, all in your face, and she murder stabs you in the face. Murder stab, murder
What's
stab.
What's the difference between this and like, the long-armed guy? What's that called?
The one we've been playing recently? Oh, my gosh. Why am I forgetting?
You know who I mean. Slenderman.
I can see it.
Slenderman is
what I'm thinking. Oh, Slenderman.
What's the difference between this and Slenderman? What's the difference?
A big difference. Slenderman, you kind of encounter and he kind of stalks you slowly. She doesn't stalk you slowly. She literally runs through the house and she's making noise all the time. And so that's how you avoid her for the most part. The problem is not avoiding Granny usually. Usually it's pretty easy to figure out where she's at in the house. It's the things that are around you when you think, because it's a very dark game. You can't really see too well. Even when you bump up the gamma all the way to the top, you're like, you'd be walking around a corner and you accidentally just bump a little table. Next thing you know, Granny's all in your face stabbing you. And so it's a lot. It's very nerve-wracking. And at first I was like, oh, no big deal. All I got to do is just get out of this one room, go down the steps, and exit out the front door. That's not even close. Mm-hmm. There's so much more. This game, this little mobile game, has a lot of exploration going on. And if you just try to play the game itself, you're going to fail. So what I did is there's like a tutorial mode, which isn't really a tutorial mode. It's an exploration mode. So what it does is Granny's out at the Winn-Dixie or wherever she goes to get her kill meals. And so while she's out, you can explore the house. You only can carry one object at a time. So there's certain tasks that you need to accomplish. Like there's a shotgun you can put together to kill Granny. Apparently, I haven't done it yet. But there's a location in one part of the house where you can put a shotgun together, but you only can carry one object at a time. The shotgun is in three pieces and is scattered throughout the house.
Yeah.
As you're walking through the house, there are not only objects you have to avoid, like tables and pictures and different things. There's also, she set up tripwires, which you can't really see until you're aware where they're at. Mm. There's different ways to get out of the house. Like you can put together, once again, hey, anytime there's a scary movie, there's always or a scary game, it seems like it's time to put the... It's time to put some batteries in a car and fix the car so you can get out of there. And there's no different here. There's a car down the basement that you can get to and get in and go. By the way, this is going to come as no surprise because I was worried about spoilers, but I'm not worried about this spoiler. If she does catch you, sometimes she just stabs you, but sometimes she'll take you down to the basement and she will chop your head off. It's very creepy. It's very creepy. And it's going to happen to you, so there's no spoiler.
There's even something about the bad graphics that are making this scarier to watch.
I do believe I started drawing that conclusion, too, after playing Friday the 13th. And they're like, these graphics, are they supposed to make me feel, uneasy or disturbed? And is that what they're doing, Granny? Because Granny is like just, she's just gross. I mean, it'd be easy to make a Granny look scary, but this just looks weird and unsettling because she's got like that nightgown thing on and she doesn't really move her arms until she gets right up on you. And it's like,
I don't like her one bit.
It's good though. Oh, you got to play this in bed. Oh yeah. You got to play the Granny in bed with the lights turned off and the headphones on. And, because like I said, it's really quiet and you can hear her off in the distance and she's doing things. You can kind of tell which room she's in and you can kind of skirt past her. And, sometimes it doesn't work out so well. But five-year-old nephew who loves this game, Granny.
Yeah, I'm not playing this. There's no way.
Come on.
No way. I'm not I'm looking at this here. This is not, I can't play this. There's no way I'm playing this. This is terrifying, dude. And dumb phone. Oh, no. See, you and horror games get along better than me and horror games get along.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. That. All right, Granny, on the phone, available. Is it iOS as well or just your
Android? I didn't check it for my iOS device because, like I said, I didn't actually install it. Which is usually what I do. It was installed for me. It looks like Granny is on the App Store. It's free with ads on the Android. It looks like the same over here. And you can also remove the ads. The ads were not too intrusive, but when they do come up, man, they're a nightmare to close. But they're okay.
Plus, it takes you out of it
when you have
ads in games like
it
this.
It does. Literally, because it took me to the Play Store like 20 times.
That reminds me, chat room, someone in the chat just asked, did I end up getting Resident Evil, a key for Resident Evil? Yes, somebody coughed one up, and I now have to
play it. Which Resident Evil was that?
7, the new one.
7.
The new one, yeah. The scary one, the one that's scary. All the other Resident Evils aren't scary, they're just games. This is scary.
How do I not?
What? You don't know about,
have any?
How do you not know about 7?
Well, I do know about 7, but how do I not have Resident Evil 7 or any of the Resident Evils in my Steam? Did I get them somewhere else?
Well, I paid of sense? All the Steam, all the old Resident Evils, I just played on consoles, so I couldn't tell you.
Right.
But 7.
Good old games. Good point. Good old games, I bet.
Yeah, probably. I didn't even think, I mean, RE1 was scary, but whatever. I played it with a friend of mine. It was like, no big deal. This new one, 7, is freaking scary. That girl, oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do it. I mean, I'm going to have to because somebody coughed one up for me. I got to do it. I promised I would. But
By the way, you should. Did you ever pick up Little Nightmares?
Yeah, I have it.
Oh, I'd love to hear your take on that. Have you played it yet?
No, but I have it to play.
Oh, so good.
I should play that. Don't you think?
Oh, so good.
Yeah, I should love play that game. Let me tell you guys about another game. Hey, guess what? It's about space.
What? Get out of here.
Yeah. So I like Endless Space. I like games like that. And I talked about Endless Space last week, and a bunch of people said, Scott, I can't believe you aren't playing any of these Galactic Civilization games. And I went, oh, wait a minute. I think I actually have that in my library. Why did I never check that out? So I went and looked it up. Indeed, I do. Galactic Civilizations 3 came out in 2015. It's the latest in this particular series. It is a 4X style turn-based Civilization style game. So if you played Civ, then you kind of know what you're in for. And you move your ships on hexagons, you build new ships, you settle planets, you can choose your victory conditions, like I want to win by dominating everything, or I want to win by just diplomacy, or I want to win because I blew everybody up, or whatever it is. You can do all of that. And that's great because that's what these games are supposed to be. And it's really good. I'm super impressed with it. In fact, it really holds up as well. Some of the DLC did a kind of an overhaul on the interface, which was a little rough in the beginning. At least I thought before I got the DLC. And I think that stuff's cleaned out nicely. They've supported it really well. It runs really great. Super into it. It's like a turn-based Star Control kind of. Oh, and someone in the chat asked if I ever played Star Control. I did play Star Control 2 back in the day. I've even played the newer one, which I talked about here on the show. Very different kind of game, though. Those are like almost RPGs, whereas this thing is like a big Civ builder in space. So it's all about, a new planet I haven't occupied. Let's do what we have to do so I can go and colonize it and then take advantage of the rich resources it has and then build 8 more ships to go kill everybody with and whatever it is. Meet another factions, fight another. It's civilization, good old-fashioned Sid Meier civilization, but in space. That's what it is.
But isn't there already a civ in space with Sid Meier? Isn't
that what No, they had that one called... what was it called, you guys? The one where they leave Earth and go out in space. It's not Alpha Centauri, which is also a thing. Not right. That, though. The newer one. It wasn't received all that well because it was basically just Civ in space.
Starships?
No. It's a more recent... It's like 2015 or something. Anyway, this is not...
Starships?
No, that's not it. Beyond Earth,
It's by 2015! No,
Beyond Earth, that's it. Beyond Earth was okay, but it was just planetary stuff again, which is the same as Civ, and nobody wants to do that. This is like space. You're in space, man. You're building frigates and ships and science vessels, and you're flying all over space. It's got nothing to do with you on the ground. I mean, there's stuff on the ground, but it's all managed from not on the ground.
Right. Like, so Civ games of any sort are always a huge time sink for me. So I'm always curious, and I head over to howlongtobeat.com, which is one of my favorite places to figure out how long it's going to take me to beat a game. On Civilization 3, Galactic Civilization 3, that you're playing, the main story is 8 hours. I don't know how to calculate this.
Yeah.
But if you're a completionist, 138 hours.
Well, that's just the you getting the content for the first time. It's like kind of infinitely replayable because you can do it in sandbox mode and just play.
Right.
You know, imagine the way you used to play, Age of Empires 2.
5?
No, like Age of Empires 2. Like you just want to have a big giant fight and it's got nothing to do with story or campaign. You just go play. It's like that. You can do that. So you could play for thousands of hours in theory.
Thousands.
But that's true of all 4Xs. That's the whole point of a 4X genre game. Like, I'm not even great at these. I'm kind of bad at them, but I really like them.
This is by far the most expensive game that you have suggested. It is weighing in at $39.99 on Steam for a game from 2015. Mm-hmm. But it has mostly positive reviews. Yeah. And it looks like it's still healthy.
Yeah, people like it. There's tons of DLC, and that price may include some of that. I don't know.
Right. And also, what you always have to look at, too, when you see a game that's this a little bit older, I always try to see what the health is on this. And it has recent updates, as recent as October the 1st. Mm. So the developers are still working on this thing. They're still active. So good life.
Yeah.
Like it.
I agree. Our final game today is something called Remothered, which Brian is going to now talk about.
Remothered! I picked this up on an Origin bundle. Don't have to have Origin the game client, but it's a Origins bundle. I picked it up on Fanatical. It's one of those bundle places sometimes to pick up games. I picked it up because it had Rhyme for the PC. Remember that? I played that I played that back early this year on the PS4.
Yep.
And I thought, pick it up. I noticed in my pack, I was like, I wonder if there's any horror games here. Sure enough, there was Remothered Tortured Fathers. So you may ask yourself, what happens if you're playing a game that has characters like they're from the 70s, which is supposed to be the time period this game is, and I go on a detective adventure where I play a character that sounds nothing like Jodie Foster, but looks just like Jodie Foster.
Mm.
The older, not the older Jodie Foster we see now in that, what's that movie that she's in now where
she's in a movie right now. I can't think of what that.
Yeah. She's the curator, or she is the manager of the hospital for the criminals. And she takes care of people. Just like the John Wick thing where you can't, you can't hurt anybody while you're there. It's against the rules.
I have no idea what that is.
I can't remember the name of it. I'm sure the chat room will remember and will tell me. Anywho, I did play this Remothered Tormented Fathers for just a minute. I didn't play as long as I wanted to because it's going to be a really deep intel game because I'm telling you, there is so much reconnaissance about getting information that it is very verbose. There is a lot of language going on in this thing. And I'm like, man.
She's too small for her van, though. I just want to point this out.
She is way too small for her van. It's once again this is another one of those games. It's like it's a horror game, and it looks weird. And I once again, I think we may be onto something here, that they intentionally make these games look weird. I'm not even sure which engine this uses, but it's a, it almost feels like Half-Life or something. It's weird, but yeah. Oh my gosh. And there's like, at the very beginning, it is very 70s moody. It's atmospheric because there's like 5 minutes of her standing outside the van smoking a cigarette.
Yeah. Looking like the tiniest person next to the world's largest man.
Looking like the tiniest person, totally like a Jodie Foster lookalike. So anyway, what you're doing is it drops you off. The game starts you off and you're outside this mansion and you run across this poster of a missing child and kind of get a little backstory there. And then you go into the mansion after being buzzed in because there's gates and everything that keeps you from going in. You get inside and you start telling lies apparently to the people there, because what you're there saying, you're following up with the old man who is in poor health and is under investigation for his missing daughter and all these things that his company that he owned, and there was pollution and there's lawsuits against him and his business partner cheated him, and there's all this rich deep story going on, but it's like really bubbling up fast, and you're lying your ass off apparently, because after the first cutscene you find out that you're a big fat liar and they run you off.
I think she's the future granny. I think that's what this is.
She is totally a future granny. It's funny because there's I believe at the beginning of the game, there is a very short bookend of where there's a character that is in a old person's home, and she looks just like McGarnacle.
Great.
It's weird. Yeah. So I don't, the character models all look like characters from other movies, but they sound nothing like them. The character, the voice acting is, it's okay. Anywho, really escalates after the first chapter, because I was like, I'm so bored.
Is it like bored. Tell me how you, what are you doing though? Like, forget about the story for a minute. What are you actually doing in this thing?
I'm telling you, you're literally walking as slow as humanly possible. Really, you are. You're walking really, really slow when you first start this. And I've, like I said, I've only played like maybe like an hour. So the first part is all this huge layering of stories. And I'm like, oh my God, just come on, get on with it. Well, but the characters really get really interesting. Where I ended, though, was after the first kill. Yeah. Because you get in the house and it's like Granny all over again. When you go back to the second time, it's like Granny, except now it's Grandpa. You're trying to find out what happened to his wife. You get in the house, you find out what happened to his wife. Then he chases you with a blade, and you try to sneak out of the house by tiptoeing and sneaking. And you get around these certain corners. All of a sudden, he comes running out and goes, it scares the crap out of you.
Well, I'm watching it. So let's hear some audio here. I got this going here.
For you. Not only for your health, but it's also very expensive.
She's talking about not smoking. She quit smoking. You do walk really slow in this.
Oh, so painfully slow. And there's so much dialogue.
Yeah, what's the... Ooh, okay, she's hiding from something. Oh, that's not discordant at all.
Intentional.
Ew!
If you could... Oh, yeah, did you find
Grandma? There's
an old lady
in there. Yeah, she's covered in moths or something.
All right. It looked more like Locust or something. It's an odd, unsettling scene, and it escalates quickly. They take you in such a slow pace when you come in, but then it escalates quickly, and then there's like this a lot of slowdowns and speed ups, and it's really effective at disturbing you. So I think I'm gonna go back and visit this game some more. And it looks like a lot of fun. This is something to really dig deep into. If you're looking for something quick and fun to jump in, this is not fun. Right. This is not a fun game.
No, it doesn't look fun at all to me.
But it is a really interesting and deep game so far when I've seen it. It may fall apart. Like I said, I've only played for like an hour, and I picked this up for the PC. Remothered, Tormented Fathers is the name of the game. But if you're into like those detective thriller kind of shows, movies,
yeah,
might be for you.
Quick, I need to fix a rumor that's blowing up in the chat real fast before we do our guess.
Rumors.
Snake CL says, regarding Diablo 4, apparently one of the rumor designers, Brian Holinka, just got taken off of it and brought back to WoW. Incorrect. I know Brian Holinka personally, and I know the story, and he was not on that team. He was on a secret project, but that wasn't it.
Secret project.
He's back to the WoW team. Yes, he was before that. He was in charge of PvP on WoW. That is incorrect. Do not spread rumors because it doesn't do anybody any good.
Because if you do, Granny will come visit you. Yeah. We're going to have time for Guess My Game. Or yeah. We're going to skip the news today.
We're going to skip news, but we're going to do this. So watch this.
It's a meme, Mario.
Brian, I'd like you to try to guess what this game is. I'm going to play it. It's old. See if you know. Here you go.
It will be paid for into space cadet.
Do you have any ideas?
No, it sounds like the later years of arcades, though. Was it an arcade game?
It was. It's a little game called Gorf. Do you remember Gorf?
Gorf! Of course, yeah. Gorf.
Who doesn't love Gorf?
Oh, I used to love Gorf, too, but I never really played it at in the arcade. It seems like I played it later, like in a... Was it like for the Commodore 64? Was there a port for that? It seems like I had played it at home somewhere.
There may have been a home version of that. I'm not sure.
It might have been the 2600.
The weird thing is, it was kind of a parody of like Galaga, Galaxian, Space Invaders, all kind of mashed up. It was. I don't know if it was all done by the same people who owned the rights to any of that, but it sure didn't seem like it. It seemed like they were.
I love this game so much. I haven't played it. I mean, I was so young when I played this game. It's just ridiculous.
You're about a wee boy.
A wee boy, and I played the crap out of it, and I love that ship. That ship is just so iconic in my mind.
Yeah.
Of how it looks.
This is a hell of a thing. All right, I'm going to play yours. Let's see if I can figure it out. Here we go.
Very good, okay. Collect 3 more Kermonster amulet pieces so that you can start getting pushy.
I have no idea what this is. Hold on.
This is one of those games you either played it or you had no clue it even existed.
Give me an era. When was this out?
This is originally released in October the 20th, 2000.
Okay.
It is a horror themed game.
Okay.
It's not necessarily horror, but it does have elements of classic characters of horror.
Pieces of the Kermonster amulet.
And it was for the PlayStation 1 is where
this is Stubbs the Zombie.
No, that was a very good guess. Very good guess indeed. Let's see if anybody in the chat room has even come close.
Yeah.
No, because like I said, you would either know this because you owned it and you weren't exactly proud of it, but you liked it, okay? You weren't gonna go tell your friends, hey guys, if you play blah blah blah. No, do you surrender?
Wait, was it Mickey Mouse's? What was that called? They kind of had a Halloween-y themed Mickey Mouse game. Is that it?
No, but it is owned by the same company now.
Disney.
Even though it was not at that point.
All right, I give up. What is it?
All right, so we were playing Muppet Monster Adventure. I was hoping I was hoping my friend there was, we could understand what he was saying, but I figured you wouldn't be able to hear him say Kermonster.
Kermonster.
Referring to the Kermit monster.
So there's a Kermit monster. Okay, now I kind of want to see this game.
Yeah, it's an amazing game. Either, like I said, you either owned it or you had no clue it existed.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
If
you had it, you played it, but you didn't go telling your friends. Guess what I got?
All right, well, who knew that there would be a thing like that? Fantastic. All right, I'm going to rip through this news real quick because I actually think this is interesting. Shadow of the Tomb Raider got bombed with negative reviews, and I couldn't figure out why. But I was also eyeing it because it was on sale. I thought, oh, hey, look at it. It's back at the top of the charts. What's going on? Why is it on sale? This game's only been out less than 30 days. Well, it turns out it's getting negative review bombed because it's on sale in less than 30 days. People who bought the game initially are pissed. 34% off. 34%. Somebody else says 50. I don't know why they can't get their numbers straight. People are mad because a lot of them bought the game a month ago at full price of $59.99. And the game is suddenly near half off a month later, and they're pissed. So I don't know if any of those...
They're writing... I really wish that we as a people gamers
yeah,
could agree. People. We could all agree that we're going to review games independently of the distributor or the businesses, unless it's actually impacting our gameplay. Like if the game is fundamentally broken, I think that would be you would definitely complain about the company's response time, whether they're doing anything about it, because it just totally breaks the game. But not liking the fact that the game shipped a day late, or you know, or they went on sale too soon for you. I like to see those reviews kind of
welcome to video games, baby. This is video games right. for you. This is what this crowd wants. They want to freak out about stuff. Yeah. I kind of get it though. Like you don't want to hear that the game you spent $59 on is now $39. Like you would like to have heard that before you spent your money.
Yes.
Because a $20 head start for 30 days is kind of a raw deal.
Right.
So I kind of get it. It is also kind of unusual. They don't usually do the sale this quick. So
I'm curious at how Amazon and other stores may handle this. I know that if you pre-order it from certain places, you would certainly have no recourse, but Amazon does allow you. It does have like a sliding scale on pre-orders, and I'm not sure how long that goes after the game has been released. I'm not sure if it's even available, like, but I'd be interested.
It feels like
to hear
they're going
like
out of going out of business sale on Tomb Raider stuff, like Rise of the Tomb Raider. The last one's only $15 right now. That's like nothing.
Yeah.
It is back up to full price now. It was a limited sale.
I don't get mad when products I buy go on sale or lose their value. I just assume that when I'm paying full price for something, it is to get a head start. And if it's only a week head start, then, you know, I would probably prefer a longer head start, but I'm not going to be mad about it.
I just think if you really want a Tomb Raider, you bought it the day it came out and you played the hell out of it and you loved it.
You got supported your $59 that you liked and you did it. If you get upset about them suddenly ganking the price on you, it's obvious. Usually the reason they do, maybe I know a little bit too much about business. Maybe that's the problem. Because I'm like, oh, they put it on sale because, you know, they didn't move enough. And, you know, supply and demand.
Well, that's definitely a problem that's not tracking very well. And the chat room reminds me of this. It's selling worse than any of the modern Tomb Raider games have.
Right.
And part of that is, you know, maybe a little saturation.
They're not trying to. I don't think anybody's trying to stick it to anybody.
No. I don't think so at all. I think they're just like, well, shit, we didn't hit our goals. Let's sell more of these by putting it on sale for a week.
So, right.
Hey, what are you going to do? And you can only leave a review for it if you've played it. So
yes,
it's not just
which would be the people that probably pre-ordered it, because that would be the people that were mad.
Yeah, early adopters mad. Real quick here, I got an email from John. Wrote in, says, so I bought Invisible Ink on my iPad. Probably the best $5 I've spent on the App Store. Thanks for the recommendation. Keep up with all the suggestions. I'm a 43-year-old dad gamer, and releases come and go, but I often miss them. What's important is not the new, but the good. I love that you guys talk about games from a couple of years ago. John. Well, I agree, John. And Invisible Ink, I didn't say it at the top of the show, but I actually played a bunch of that again because just talking about it makes me want to play it. I still love that game. Oh, it's so good. Played that on PC. I have it on the iPad as well. An incredible game. Here's another email from Daniel. It says, as a Redbox employee, I would just like to personally thank Brian for keeping me employed and able to afford feeding my son, whose name is Link. Keep renting games, Brian. I need to keep my job. Love the show, though. Daniel.
Believe it, man. I will keep renting those Redbox movies as long as them demos ain't available.
They keep renting them? You'll keep renting them.
I'll keep renting them. I'm loving that deal, man. 3 days for $7? I mean, that's my weekend, man.
Rent is a funny word, isn't it? Because you can they can rent them to you, and you can rent them from them. So you're both renting them. That's weird.
Renting.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Because buying and selling, there's buying and selling, there's running and walking, there's, you know, all these other ways of saying it where you have to differentiate it. But renting, it's like, they will rent you a movie. I will rent a movie. Isn't that weird?
Renting will happen. Rent.
It's weird.
You know what else is great about Redbox?
What?
Space is at a premium in those little units, and they often, if you're paying attention while you're going through, don't forget to check their buys as well. Like you can buy the used games, and especially if it's a game that was kind of cool for you but didn't really rent out that well, You can pick up some really cool games for real cheap, like $5 lots of times, or somewhere at least under 20 usually.
Simply Squared in chat says, same with leasing. You can lease things, yes. And you can also have things lease to you.
Lease, and then you can lease your dog.
Yeah, it's a double way word, or however you want to say it. It's going to do it for the show, everybody. Frogpants.com/BOOP is the website. Go there, be there, have your fun there. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. You can send emails like John and Daniel. And if you want to find us on Twitter, we're @BoopShow. We also have a Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. And sometimes we pull from there for our news stories and other stuff. So do check that out. It's going to do it. Brian Dunaway, anything going on with you want to mention? You good?
Man, I can't wait to play some more scary games. If you follow me on Twitter, @TheBrianDunaway, like Scott said, if you think of a cool, scary game, let me know.
Ooh, I like what you're selling there, buddy boy.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for being here. If you enjoyed it, well, I got great news for you because we'll be back next week to do this more. So check us out on the web, frogpants.com/boop. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian. For all of you. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
Yeah, dude.